This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, July 7th. Well, wheat markets yesterday were mixed as the market kind of went flat in the grain complex. We started out firm, and then the markets firm in corn and soybeans, but we really couldn't get much upward momentum going. We ended up closing about middle of the range for soybeans. Corn was toward the low end of a very small trading range. So in corn, you've had the big push up last week, and then since then you've basically been trading sideways. The night session is pulling back on both corn and beans as the weather outlook moderates just a bit, taking temperatures down just a touch and bringing in a slight amount of rain into the western Midwest. We'll see if all that verifies, but we're still looking at some pretty hot temperatures, well into the 90s, and generally dry. The rain is expected to be scattered and just pop up thunderstorms. So it's not a generalized system. Primarily what we're seeing is the high pressure ridge that's going to retrograde back to the west. It looks like it'll linger a little bit longer in the west and give some relief and a little bit more time for the corn to pollinate before it turns hot again. So we'll see. The private guys are still talking about prolonged heat and dryness as you get into late July and into August. Obviously, that would be more of a soybean issue, but still for corn. Obviously, the most important period is right in front of us for pollination over the next couple weeks. Most of the country will be pollinating through that stretch, and that's going to be when the ridge kind of retrogrades back. So there is this threading the needle of weather for corn, but soybeans look like they're more susceptible here as the heat is expected to move back. So we'll see. Plus, I think with soybeans, there's a better demand base there anyway. China, you know, is full on importing everything they can get out of Brazil and Argentina and also the United States. So, you know, that's I think the longer term issue is that with soybeans, you have a better demand base and more at risk from supply. With corn, so much depends on the economy and ethanol usage, and that's shaky at best. So there's not as much bullish momentum to the corn as there could be to the soybeans. So getting back to wheat, what that means for wheat is if corn's going to pull back or not have as much bullish enthusiasm, it does take an element of support away from wheat. And we saw that showing up yesterday with the complex, Kansas City gaining a bit more on Chicago, but all of them were pretty quiet yesterday. Minneapolis is hovering at its contract lows as we're getting a lot of rain through the northern plains. What started out as some fairly hot and dry conditions across the northern tier now has turned wet, and North Dakota, which got off to a rough start this season, is looking in a much better shape. Montana is almost off the charts with the quality and potential quantity of winter wheat, at least, and now spring wheat coming on strong as well. And of course, that's going to be pushing up into the Canadian prairies too. In Chicago, which was the weaker component, of course, with corn pulling back, that has a much more direct impact on Chicago. And this is what we were talking about for quite a while, that if corn and beans take a move to the upside, if a weather event happens, it'll pull Chicago wheat faster than it would pull Kansas City or Minneapolis. That would set up some huge opportunities to fade those spreads when you run out of gas in the weather market. And that's still in play. It's still a real possibility over these next few weeks, but that's just something to keep in mind, that what we want to see is that those spreads correct a bit more before we get on board. I think ultimately Kansas City will regain its premium over Chicago, but it's been discounted to Chicago for a couple of years now. It's time to move that away. You had a shorter crop of hard red winter wheat in the southern and central plains, and you've had a larger soft red crop than last year. And so you're going to see those spreads correct, but right at the moment, Chicago's holding together better because of corn market that looks like it could extend some weather premium. And on some news that, well, you've had a shorter crop in, you're having a shorter crop in Europe, and the Black Sea had some issues as well early in the season. Both of those regions are now heading into the harvest season. You got France projecting that their wheat production will be around 31.3 million tons, which is down a full 8 from last year. That's a 21% drop from last year. So that's a notable drop, and I think that's going to support the soft market, and that certainly would support the Chicago market. But we're also seeing Russia coming on strong to finish up its season. Ukraine is going to have a big crop as well. And so the Black Sea will be a major force. It's always a major force in setting world price. And you have both Ukraine and Russia will be competing head to head with big production numbers. Now, Egypt tendered overnight or yesterday afternoon. This morning we see the cheapest offers out of Russia at $205 a ton, which is down about $13 a ton from where they sold wheat to Egypt 2 weeks ago. So of course it's new crop. There's always that major discount for new crop offers. But keep in mind too that Russia, the ag minister, is talking about potentially imposing some export restrictions in the second half of the marketing year. Now, yesterday, coming out of the weekend, the Russian government talking about going to an export quota system, but they wouldn't really know what their numbers are until October. So if you're an exporter in Russia, you're going to want to do as much as you possibly can before October, and certainly before December when they start potentially imposing restrictions. So it's going to be aggressive sales coming out of Russia for the first half of their marketing year. And so I look for that to be just a constant pressure on the wheat space, the broader wheat space. But first, we have to get through these next 4 to 6 weeks in the critical growing stages for corn and soybeans. And that could spell some major disruptions or price action potential across the whole grain complex. Now, crop condition ratings were out yesterday afternoon. We have spring wheat rated at 70% good to excellent. That's up one from last week. 63% is headed. Montana sitting at 82% good to excellent. North Dakota 61%. Montana is also sitting at 86% good to excellent for winter wheat. And most of that is excellent. 55% of that is in the excellent category. Corn dropped 2 points to 71% good to excellent. 10% is silking. And soybeans at 71% good to excellent. That's unchanged from last year. Kansas harvest 80% complete, so pretty much done there by the time we get through this week. And so most of your harvest pressure should be behind us. We'll probably see some because of the huge crops coming out of the northern plains, but that's usually pretty short-lived, and we're usually working our way to stabilizing or moving higher by the time that harvest begins, which is just around the corner in Montana. I think you're going to hold some weather premium here for corn, and that will help support the wheat space. You've probably most likely seen your highs in wheat here a couple weeks ago with the jab down into new contract lows, and the very next day you immediately came back, followed by a nice spike up. And then since then, you've been flat to sideways. I think you've found your low in wheat. We're only, 15 cents off that low, so it's not like we've had a major move to the upside, but I do think that you've stabbed the low and you snap back, and harvest is pretty much done in Kansas, so all those reasons would suggest that you should be pretty much wrapped up with your harvest pressure. But keeping in mind that you've got the harvest starting across the rest of the northern hemisphere, I don't think Europe's going to be a major bearish component, but I do think the Black Sea holds that potential as well. Russia reported overnight that their exports for the first half of this calendar year from January through June was 11.5 million tons for wheat. That's up 2 million over last year. And again, they've got a big crop coming, so I would expect that you're going to continue to see pretty aggressive exports coming out of Russia for these next few months at least. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.